Obituary.
Lily Abert, the Holocaust survivor and memoirist, died on October 9th, aged 100.
For years, Lily Abert struggled to make good on the promise she had made to herself on Yom Kippur in 1944. She was then in Auschwitz. She, her mother, three sisters and a brother, like hundreds of thousands of other Hungarian Jews, had been sent there earlier that year. She promised herself that if she survived, she would tell the world what had happened there. She wanted to make sure no one else ever suffered what she was suffering. It was a lofty, perhaps unattainable goal, but she was 20 and more optimistic than many in her grim situation. Around 6 months later, American soldiers found her and two of her sisters after their captors abandoned them during a forced march. They had stayed together in captivity, working as seamstresses and then in a munitions factory. That any of them had survived Auschwitz, where Nazis murdered 1.1 million Jews, was a miracle. That all three of them were freed together was even more unusual. Lily was the oldest of six and looked after the younger children. She was mature beyond her years. When she was 10, an aunt served her coffee for the first time. She hated it, but pretended otherwise because drinking coffee was what grown-ups did. Those sisters were all she had. After the family was shoved off the filthy, cramped goods train that brought them to Auschwitz, Lily and two sisters were sent in one direction. Her mother and two younger siblings were taken in the other. Lily never saw them again. Later that day, she was sickened by a horrible smell and asked another prisoner who had arrived before them what it was. "They're burning your families there," she told Lily. "Your parents, your sisters, your brothers. They're burning them." She survived the way many others did, by remaining unremarkable, diligent, reasonably healthy, and above all, lucky. After the war, the three sisters went to Switzerland, but only briefly. The frosty welcome and chicken wire surrounding the platform where a trainload of young survivors alighted convinced Lily that the Swiss did not really want them there. So she and her sisters left for Israel, where she married a Hungarian Jew who had emigrated to Mandatory Palestine in 1938, before the war. They had children and were busy building a life, looking forward rather than back. Who could explain the Holocaust to children? Why would anyone want to? Survivors struggled with guilt over having lived when so many died, and shame at not having left Europe sooner. Everyone could see the tattoo on her arm, but she did not want to discuss it and nobody wanted to ask. Besides, early trials in Israel propagated the notion that camp inmates survived by collaborating with the Nazis. It was better, many thought, to keep quiet, try to forget, and build a better future. And yet, there is an old Yiddish proverb, "Tsuris overcome are good to tell." Tsuris means troubles or suffering. It is a plural noun because, as one rabbi quipped, "Jews don't do trouble in the singular, it has to be in the plural." Speaking about heartache is difficult, yet keeping silent forever is almost impossible. At the trial in 1961 of Adolf Eichmann, the bureaucrat of death, who said he was just following orders, more than 100 witnesses, many of them Holocaust survivors like Lily, told their stories. The dam did not break immediately, but the taboo was broken. Survivors felt freer to talk and others to ask. For instance, why did Lily always keep a piece of bread beside her? First, because the memory of hunger remained visceral for her, as for so many survivors. Also because in Auschwitz she wore her own shoes, a rarity, and probably because the massive influx of Hungarian Jews depleted the camp's supply of wooden clogs. hidden in the heel, she kept a few small pieces of family jewellery. They had no monetary value. They were trinkets, a couple of rings and a beloved cherub necklace that Imi, her brother, wanted to save when men with guns forced them from their house. When the heel wore through, she hid the trinkets in her daily bread ration, which she tucked into her armpit. When Imi, who also survived the war, eventually escaped from Hungary and made it to Israel with his family in 1956, Lily greeted him wearing the cherub necklace. Her sisters wore the rings. When she and her husband moved to London in 1967, she lost the tight-knit community she had known in B'nai Barak. So she started another. A group of survivors met each week in a space behind a department store in Swiss Cottage. She began writing her memories down and returned to Auschwitz with her family, not as a prisoner this time, but as a survivor. She said Kaddish for her family in a watchtower. It was the closest thing she could find to a gravesite. Afterwards, she walked freely out of the gates. During the COVID-19 lockdown in 2020, her great-grandson, Dov, helped introduce her story to a new generation. He posted a picture on Twitter of a wartime banknote on which an American soldier had written his wishes for good luck and happiness, but signed it only Assistant to Chaplain Schlachter, with some words in Hebrew. He hoped someone might help him find out who the soldier was. 8 hours later, the family learned that his name was Hyman Schulman. He was long dead, but his family and the Eberts met via Zoom shortly thereafter. Together with Dov, she wrote a full memoir, Lily's Promise, and took her storytelling to social media. She was a genial presence, buoyed no doubt by the large family that was her revenge against Hitler. 3 children, 10 grandchildren, 38 great-grandchildren, and 1 great-great-grandson. And just as Hillel the Elder, a first-century religious leader, summed up the entire Torah in a single sentence, "That which is hateful to you, do not do to another," Lily's message was also simple. "For all human beings, one thing is for sure," she said. "Our blood is red, and when you cut us, it hurts."